Turn with me in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 28. Genesis chapter 28. This morning I'm talking about Jacob. Is anybody here named Jacob? One of Tim's two boys are here. Tim's in the Holy Land this morning over in Israel. So pray for him there. That's pretty cool. And we have the two children for the next 25,000 hours. And let me rephrase that. Ronald Lee has the children. So, but one, our youngest is called Jacob, and so every time I holler Jacob, he's gonna. Do we have any other Jacobs? Oh, I made somebody cry. And so, I've been studying the man Jacob for a while. Aren't you glad God uses us even though we have tough times? Did Jacob have a perfect family? No. The guys in the Old Testament, the husbands and wives and families, they were a mess at times. And God still used them. And we need to understand that. And I want you to realize, if God can use Jacob, He can use me. That's what I want you to catch that. And I call him an off and on godly dad. He was on and off, on and off. He was doing good, then he would do bad for a while. Jacob and Abraham, right? Isaac, is that right? Jacob, the God of our fathers. In chapter 25, where we start there? In chapter 25, Jacob... His dad and mom, Isaac and Rachel, one of them loved one more than the other. Did y'all know that? That's a big story. It's a bad sin that comes in a family, that it was known that the mom loved Jacob and the dad loved Esau. And in chapter 25, verse 28, Isaac loved Esau just because he was a good cook. Now that's not a good reason, you know, that's terrible, and it split the family. Is that bad? There was dysfunctional all over the place because of that. And then, and then he sold his brother's birthright, or he bought his brother's birthright for a bowl of soup. Remember all of those stories? And you're saying, man, this is a messed up family. And you realize that just caused by their parents showing favoritism one to another. Let me state that. That is improper. Is that right? That is improper. Some kids might respond to you more, but we love them all equally. In our family, I do believe all three of our children think that we love the others more than them. I like that. And so, that's, you know, you're my favorite. Yes, you're my favorite. You're my favorite. Tim, you're my favorite. Andrew, you're my favorite. Thanks for praying for Andrew. It's very possible that he's already lined up another church in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, and that's pretty cool. He's just thrilled, excited. Wow. And then Krissa down in Florida. You just realize, wow, they're all different, but don't have favorites. Then in chapter 27, Genesis 27, the blessing was being given, and Mama got together, Rachel got together and said, Jacob, lie to your dad, trick your dad, deceive your dad. And Jacob's sitting there going, Mom? And the deception went. The family was very dysfunctional. I want you to know that the boys hated one another after that. It was a mess. The dad blessed the one. Now, had God already said it was going to be that way? The younger, the older, and all of that. But they didn't wait on God, did they? They went ahead of God, and here we have a family that there's tension, hatred, distrust with brothers. And in verse 36 of 27, Jacob says, no wonder he's named, or Esau said, no wonder he's named Jacob. He's tricked me out of everything. Jacob means deceiver. And you realize, wow, it's terrible. Chapter 28, everybody turn to chapter 28. Chapter 28 starts with the best thing Isaac ever did. Here, Isaac stands up. Can you have some bad qualities and have some good qualities? Please understand that, please. And you can have some ungodly qualities and then godly qualities. I want everybody to hear Isaiah, or Genesis 28 verse 1. Genesis 28 verse 1. And Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said unto him, thou shalt not take a daughter of the Canaanites. Instead of go at once to Padanaram, that's Haran, where they all gathered, to the house of your grandfather, and marry one of your uncle's, Laban's daughters. Don't you marry an ungodly, unsaved person. Is that pretty good? That's very good. And I hope parents and grandparents and children and teenagers to understand that that is a rule. That's one of God's rules. Marry right. Boy, when you marry wrong, doesn't it mess you up? We can all attest to that. But he jumped in there. He was showing favoritism, and he was being deceived and everything. And he stopped and he said, son, don't you marry one of these ungodly heathens of the Canaanites. You go find one of the family that's godly and marry a godly girl there. And I challenge each dad to set that pace in every family. And Isaac blessed Jacob in verse 3 and started it out. And they all did some bad. They're all on and off Christians. Aren't you glad God keeps up with us when we're on and off? All of us are on and off in some direction. Is that true? We're fired up some days and we're fired out some days. And he still uses us, and it's wonderful. Isaac inherited a stronghold, a sin from their family, a generational sin from Abraham. Isaac had it, and that sin was what? She is my sister. Praise God, Jacob didn't continue that sin. There are generational sins. You know it in your own family. Somebody's got to break it. Is that right? There's a mess in my family. There is all kinds of divorce, drunkenness, alcohol, mess. Is that right? I'm not going to do it. You know, my grandpa did it, my dad did it, but I'm not going to do it. And here, a stoppage of this sin that was in Abraham and in Isaac, and it's not in Jacob. And Jacob moves in another direction. He's not perfect, but he doesn't have that generational sin, that stronghold. Do you know you can break the chain? My parents broke the chain of evil in the Fisher clan. All of them were Hellions, okay? And my mom and dad got saved at 27, and they said, as for me and my house, what? We're going to serve the Lord. And all of my Fisher clan, my dad had many brothers, all of them thought my dad and mom were crazy. And you raising those boys to know Jesus, and all y'all talk about is Jesus, y'all gonna be weird and messed up. No. And we stopped that. I trust you consider that of your family. I don't know where you're at, but I trust you consider, you know, I have some bad blood in my grandparents and parents, but as for me, is that right? I'm going to do right. And I hope you realize there's got to be a first generation someplace. My dad started it, then we kept it up, and praise God, we have continued to the third generation, and we're praying for the what? The fourth generation. It's very important. And it has to be godliness going on, and humbleness. And here Jacob is on and off, like his dad, Isaac, on and off. Look at verse 6, Genesis 28, verse 6. Esau saw that Isaac said to Jacob, don't marry this. He went and married. Read verse 6, 7, and 8, and 9. Genesis 28, 6, 7, 8, and 9. He went the opposite. Esau was the guy who said, Esau, don't do that. And he would what? Do it. and Esau went and married somebody related to whom? Did you catch it yet? Ishmael. That is Abraham's wrong son. Is that right? That's the Arabs, and that's a mess. And he went and rebelled and married poorly and messed everything up, and it's a dysfunctional family. Jacob leaves. Genesis chapter 28, verse 12. Everybody. Genesis 28, verse 12. He comes to his first altar. Put up the picture there. You're this very famous story here. I want you to know he has six altars in his life. These are the times when he got fired up for God and lived for God. And I'm going to show you how much years is between each of the altars. And there's one time where three of the altars happen in 1 year. Wouldn't it be great that all of them happened to boom, 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 instead of there is one where he didn't do an altar for 31 years. Wow. Come and read for us, Jeff. Genesis verses 12 to 22.
Okay, sounds good.
Well, don't make so much, I'm in trouble.
Yeah, you know, I might have to. Okay, great. Okay. And Jacob dreamed, and behold, the ladder set up on the earth. And at the top of it, it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac, the land whereon thou liest. To thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee, in thy seed, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awakened out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he put for his pillows, and set it up for a pillar, and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of that city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee.
Thank you. I'm just kidding you.
You're all set.
Yeah.
I did mess him up.
That's all right. Okay. No. I live in a mess, so it's all right. That's why I never preach a sermon twice. I can't read my notes from last week. This is Jacob's first encounter with God. This is Jacob getting away and on his own, and he's looking for a wife, and he's leaving the land of Israel, and he's going back to Haran and looking for a wife where he was with Abraham in the area there. And he goes to bed and sleeps, and he has a dream, and the angel's coming down. God talks to him, and he says, "You're going to be my child. I'm going going to take care of you. I'm going to give you this land. I'm going to give you children, seed, as many as you can count. And I like this part. And I'm going to bless you. By you, all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed, because in thy seed, the Messiah is going to be born. The Savior of the world's coming. This is the promise here. That in you, the whole world will be blessed. He gave him a land. He gave him seed, his children, and he gave him blessing. And he says, Lord, if you take care of me and feed me and be with me and bring me back here, you will be my God. Now that's a big statement. I will live for you. I will serve you. I will obey you. I will fear you. I will walk with you. You will be my God, not me. You will. And he said, I'm going to just take and follow you. You're going to be my God. Wonderful passage there. And he built the first pillar, the first altar here. He set up a pillar. It wasn't my pillow. It was a stone he was sleeping on. Man, think of the backaches of those people in those days. And think of the ones riding horses all the time. And sleeping out. Oh, wow. Aren't you glad you got a bed? Anybody say amen? I tell you. And these days, aren't you glad we have air conditioning? Amen. My goodness, you should shout for that. It should make, thank you, God, every time you walk in. And it's important that we realize this is his first encounter with God, and God talks to him. Sometimes we, in our New Testament era, get jealous of these guys where God talks to them. I want you to know, if you have a Bible and you are saved and you have the Holy Spirit in you, God can talk to you more than he talked to Jacob. Don't you ever feel that you're slanted, you don't have God talking to you. He's only going to have six encounters with God. That's it. You can have an encounter with the Holy Spirit and the Bible with Jesus every day. And that's the thrill of life. So don't, boy, I wish I was back there. No, you have more. You have more. You have it all. Jacob is at this first time. He's at Bethel. He names Bethel. Bethel is one of the big areas of Jacob's life. Back to Bethel. When he got off the track, to get back on the track, he would go back to Bethel. And when you sin and you start getting off and you're getting discouraged and you stop reading your Bible and you stop praying, you need to go back to Bethel. That means that's where you got on track. That's where God talked to you. I don't know what that means in your life, but it just should mean that, hey, there's times when I need to get back in my Bible. I need to get back in church. I need to get back in prayer. I need to get back talking to people about Jesus. I need to talk about Jesus instead of talking about everything else. I need to go back to Bethel. He goes back to Bethel a couple times, and he said, Lord, if you'll bring me back here, I'm leaving. I'm going over there to get a wife, and I'm coming back here, and God, you be my God. In chapter 29, he goes after his wife, Jacob's wives, Rebekah and Leah, okay? I want you to know, Jacob, how many years did Jacob work for Rachel? He loved her so much, he worked how many years? 7 years, okay? And when in 7 years was over, he walked in, he goes, I'm ready. And the guy tricked him and gave him Leah, okay? And don't ask me how that happened, but he did. And then he married Rachel, and he has two wives now. You always say, well, why did those guys do it? It was a mess every time they did it. And he was tricked into it, okay, by his father-in-law. And then the children started coming, and then they had their handmaids, and each of them had a handmaid. So Jacob had children from four women. I want you to know it's a mess. It's a mess. Jacob should have said what? No, it's not God's plan. And he did not. And he had forgotten. He's been there. It's been 7 years. And he's still there. It's his, hers, theirs. And a dysfunctional family. And jealousy and envy. And just competitiveness and hostility and frustration. Is that right? Do you know your home doesn't have to be that way? If your home's chaos, come and talk to us. You know, we have two grandchildren this week, so we have a tempt of chaos. They are playing in our backyard. You should see our backyard. Jacob, what'd you call our backyard this morning? It looked like a garbage dump. Junkyard. It's all these things they can hide behind when they're playing water wars. It's crazy. Okay. I'm just telling you, if your life is chaos and family's chaos, don't live that way. Come and talk to me. God can help you. And Jacob shouldn't have lived this way, but he let it pass. And it's terrible here. Do you know, 16 years passed from the first altar to the second altar. That shouldn't happen. 16 years. God didn't talk to him, and he didn't talk to God for 16 years. That's pretty bad. That's why I say, wow. Genesis 31. Everybody turn to Genesis 31. We see here that he's worked for Laban, and he's gotten married, and he's got two wives and two handmaidens and a lot of children, and he's worked for him, and he's still there, and God speaks to him. Chapter 31 of Genesis, verse 3. And it says, "And the Lord said unto Jacob," you know, "return to the land of your fathers. Go back." This is a really good point here with husbands. Husband, here's a great story here. Verse 3, Genesis 31, verse 3. "He sent and called Rachel and Leah from the field." If you're going to have to make a decision, should you get with your wife and your family and talk it through? This is a great illustration here. And he gets them there and he says, "Your father has just been mean to me all this time. And he's overpowered me, and we've served him. Verse 7, he's deceived me, changed my wages 10 times. I love verse 7. Everybody look, 31 verse 7. "But God," right in the middle of it, "but God suffered him not to hurt me." You know, he said, when you get the speckled cows, and then when he changed it, when you get the striped cows, he says, "God made them all speckled that I got." And if he made another rule, "God made them all striped." And he says, "I got all the cows." He says, he tried to trick me all over the place. Verse 9, chapter 31, verse 9. "Thus God had taken away the cattle of your father and given them to me." And he says, now girls, he says, "God told me to leave, and I'm asking you to go with me and to do these things." He said, God, in verse 11, he reiterates his dream, and he says, "I had a dream, and God was with me." And I love verse, and he vowed a vow, telling all about that. Verse 14. Everybody look at verse 14. Here he got his wives together, his wife together, and they were making decisions, and he explained what God said, and he listened to his wife and talked to him. Wife, should husband and wife make decisions together? Very important. That is leadership, but it's very important. And in verse 14, "And Rachel and Leah answered and said unto him," verse 16, "whatsoever God hath said unto thee," what? "Do." That's a good, he got some brownie points there. He did it well. He got them together. It was just, this is what we're doing. No, God said it, got the family together, discussed it all, showed them why God said it, and said, "Help me, is this good?" And the lady said, "This is good." And that's the way decision making should happen in a functional family. And so God has him here in chapter 31, verse 54. He builds a sacrifice and he has the second altar. And there's been 23 years from the first altar to the second altar. And it's kind of sad there. And here Jacob was leaving with his family. His wife stole something and took it with him. Is that right? You that know the story, his wife stole the family idols. I don't know if she stole them for religious purposes or for financial purposes. It doesn't tell. Jacob didn't even know it. She was hiding things from Jacob, so there was not great togetherness there. And Laban came and said, "Let's make a covenant. You don't marry anybody else, and you take care of my girls, and I'm going to let you go." And they made an oath with God in verse 53. They fearsome God of my fathers, and they left and they make a sacrifice in verse 54, the second altar, and he tried to make peace with Laban, and the covenant was made, and he says, my God is all around this. And he made a second altar 23 years later, and he should have been talking. So he travels back to Canaan, to Israel, from Haran, and he's in verse chapter 32. Chapter 32, he builds the third altar. He builds the third altar. This is probably the one most famous one. He's coming back, and Jacob is going to meet Esau again here. He's coming back and he says, man, the boy's going to kill me. And the angel, chapter 32, verse 1, and Jacob started on his way. God said, go back. And so he's going. And an angel of God came to meet him. Chapter 32, verse 2, when Jacob saw them, he exclaimed, this is God's camp. God's here. God's here with me. And he says, I'm going to go meet Esau tomorrow. God, I need your help. Chapter 32, verse 9, everybody look at it. And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, he knew who he was talking to, the Lord which saith unto me, return unto thy country and thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. His response, he's walking with God here, verse 10. Everybody look at it. Chapter 32, verse 10. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant, for with my staff I passed over the Jordan, and God had delivered me. And he says, I'm getting ready to see Esau tomorrow. And he says, something's got to give. And he says, God, help me. And he was there, and he realized, God, you have to do this. And he separated his family in verse 24. And in verse 25 is a famous verse where he wrestles with God all night. Is that right? I will not let you go until you bless my family. And he was wrestling and struggling with the angel of God, and his hip went out of joint, and he didn't give up. And the angel says, you have prevailed and you have won, and I will bless your family. And he says, thou hast power. Verse 29, he says, you have power with God, and you've prevailed, and you've seen God face to face and have not died. And in verse 28, he says, I'm going to change your name because you're walking with God. I'm going to change your name from Jacob, which means deceiver, to Israel, which means God fights. God fights the battle. He says, you're a different man because you've spent time with me and I'm walking with you. And this year, this is the year that he has three altars and he's walking with God, and he says, I got to meet Esau tomorrow and he's going to kill me, and I got to have your power. I got to have your blessing. And if you don't bless me, I'm going to die right here holding on to you. Jacob walking with God. Woo. And he says, you, I'm going to change your name. When God changed their name, it meant Simon to Peter. You know, Paul was changed from, you know, Paul, Saul to Paul. And they changed their name and they realized you're a different person. And he says, you're walking with God. And Jacob starts walking with God. And his name is Israel now. His name is Israel. And he had 12 sons. And thus we have the 12 tribes of Israel. Hope you understand, it's one family. It's just a big family. And it's a mess of a family with four mothers, okay? And God used them, and we're still blessing that. And if God can use Jacob, God can use you and me. Don't ever get away from that. And also the third altar of this year in Genesis 33, he builds an altar in verse 20, and he calls it El Israel, and it just means God, the God of Israel. And he says he erected a third altar, and this is all in the same year. All three of these altars here, put up the next one there, the fourth altar, or the third altar there, and he's there, and he's gathering that together, and he realizes, wow, God, you're my God. He's not perfect in this year. In chapter 34, one of his girls in verse 1, look at 34:1, one of his girls goes visiting the young women who live in the area, and he should have been protecting his girls, and a man rapes her. His dad's supposed to make certain his daughters are modest and knowing what places they should go and shouldn't go, huh? That needs to be done more today. Is modesty something we need to revisit in our families? And it's being something nobody talks about it today. We need to talk about it. And I think it's dad for the daughter and it's mom for the sons. And here she was let go into a wrong part of town and a man raped her and it was a mess there. And all the brothers, Simeon in verse 30, chapter 34, verse 30, Simeon and Levi made a pact with this whole town that they would get circumcised to marry the girl, and when they all got circumcised, they went in and killed every male in the whole town. It was a mess and plundered everything. And Jacob found out about it and says, "Son, y'all shouldn't have done that. We're going to have trouble all over the place." They had to move to Bethel. They had to move to Bethel because of that dumb move of them killing all those people. And Jacob needed to guard his daughters of where she was going and how she was dressing and what she was doing. And then he needed to give some wisdom to his children. Is that true? And he let them down. And they were forced to move to Bethel. And in chapter 35, they move back to Bethel. And God talks to him with the fourth altar here. And in 1 year, he has four altars. And it's three altars. And it's wonderful that Jacob is walking with God here. And in chapter 35, verse 2, I love this. 35:2. Then Jacob said unto his household, should have said this before the girl got raped and before his boys killed all those people. He says, then Jacob said unto his household, chapter 35, verse 2, everybody, and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean and change your garments, and let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way I went. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods wherewith they were in their hands, and all their earrings which they had wear in their ears. And Jacob hid them under the oak which was in Shechem. And they realized God's here, and he built an altar there in verse 7. This is the fourth altar, and this is the third altar in one year. And you're realizing Jacob's walking with God, and he missed it for 23 years, and now he's come back to Bethel and he's serving God again, and he named the place El Bethel. God is here, the house of God, and he's back in Bethel again, and he says, God's with me, God's with me. And for a whole year he walked with God. Men walk with God the whole year, not sporadically, on and off, on and off. Man, you walk with God and then you get mad at people and you get perturbed and you get upset and you leave. I know people that have left the church and been gone for 40 years, and I ask them, why don't you go to church? And the guy says, well, something happened 40 years ago and I forgot what happened. That's a mess. And then he got back with God. Here he's walked with God for a whole year. Amen? You can do it year after year and year after year. Yes, you have some ups and downs and you get discouraged, but you fire back up. And that's what's important every day, to get into the prayer and the Bible and get into God's people. We need each other at this church. You need each other, and we need to be here every time the doors are open to be a part and say, this has helped me, or else I'll start floating down towards the evil one and start on and off and on and off and missing God for 23 years. And you realize, wow. And he was on with God, and it was great to catch that. And then we realize he got off sometimes. In chapter 37, verse 3, he did one of the generational sins of his dad. Genesis 37:3. Jacob loved Joseph more than all of his other kids. Did that cause a rift between all the other kids and Joseph? They hated him, pretended to kill him, throwed him in the pit, sold him to Pharaoh. Is that right? Messed his whole life up. But was God with Joseph? Yes. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever forget. You might be treated terribly, but God is still with you. Hang in there for God. Joseph never forgot God. And Jacob wasn't training his kids. They were all mad at one another. He carried on a father-son generational sins of showing favoritism as his dad and mom showed favoritism to him. He's showing favoritism to Joseph, and it's messing up, and it's causing a generational sin, a stronghold. I want you to think about strongholds. Do you have any sins in your life that your father or mother had, or your grandpa or grandma had? If you do, that's a generational stronghold, and somebody's got to break it. Be it lying, be it a habit, be it an attitude, be it a moral issue. Is that right? We're not going to live this way. God is my witness. We're not going to live this way. And Jacob had to do that. And his myth. The fifth altar. Look at this one. 31 years passed from the fourth altar to the fifth altar. Shame on him. 31 years. God spoke up in chapter 46 and 1. It says, "Go to Egypt and I'll be with you." And he built an altar and had a sacrifice unto the God of his fathers. But 31 years passed. And it's so sad that he missed training his boys all those years. And you're saying, "Wow. Hey, you know, God help us. I'll be with you." Chapter 46, verse 3. "I will be with you. I will make thee a great nation. I will go to Egypt with you. I will bring you back." Verse 4. And then his final altar, chapter 49. His final altar. There was 31 years between altar 4 and altar 5, and then 16 years while he was in Egypt from altar 5 and his final altar in 49. And wow. He finished well, but he should have walked with God more. Everybody look at 49. Jacob gets all of his boys together in 49:1. Gets all of his boys together and gives them a blessing. Now some of them he blesses out. Oh man, he rips them. He should have done that 50 years ago. Why wait till he's dying? He's lost some blessing, huh? He's lost some opportunities to train his boys. And only a couple of them did right. The whole chapter is given to this. Verse 1, he says, "Gather around me, boys." And he says, "Listen to your father," verse 2. And he says, "Reuben," verse 3, "the oldest, you know, you're the first, you're the best, but you're no longer, you know, you've done some wicked things, and you're unruly, you're unstable." And he says, you immorally treated my wife and defiled my marriage, and cursed be upon you." Simeon and Levi, the next two, they're the ones who tore and killed all those people. Their anger in verse 6, their wrath in verse 7. He says, "I wouldn't be around you guys." Then Judah, and Judah is the line that Jesus came from. Verse 10, the scepters quoted in the Bible. Verse 10, chapter 49, verse 10, "The scepter will not depart from Judah, nor ruler's staff from the descendants until the coming of the one to whom it belongs," is Jesus the Messiah, "the one whom all nations will honor," come from Judah. Verse 13 is Zebulun. Verse 13 is Zebulun. Verse 14 is Issachar. And verse 16 is Dan. He calls him a snake, a viper. And verse 18 is a great verse. Right in the middle of law. I can't figure out why this verse is there. He just stopped and he praised God. Should we praise God for all of them? He stops and says, I trust in you for salvation, O Lord. And then he continues with Gad, verse 19, Asher in verse 20, Naphtali in verse 21, and then Joseph, his favorite. Put up the verses here. 49, yeah, put up these verses. 24 to 26, these are great verses. Look at them here. It says, this is the New Living. It says, strengthened by the hands, this is to Joseph, by the hands of the mighty one of Jacob. The mighty one of Jacob. Just think of that. He's my God, boys, and he's the mighty one, and he's taken care of me, and I have six altars in my life, and I haven't done it all right, but I've been on sometimes, and he's my God. And he says, by the shepherd, the rock of Israel, may the God of your father help you. May the Almighty bless you with the blessings of the heavens above. And verse 26, it says, my fatherly blessings. Joseph lived for God. And Jacob, he was on and off a lot, but he was on here at the end. And I encourage every man to realize, no matter where you've been, whatever mess you've been, you can always change it, get it forgiven, and say, as for me and my house today, we're going to serve the Lord. Amen, men? We must do that. And our kids, some of them don't follow. I don't understand all the stuff. But here he was on and off. And there was 23 years between the first altar and the second altar. And then he did three altars in 1 year, a great year. And then there was 31 years from the fourth altar to the fifth altar, and 16 years from the fifth altar to the final altar. But he had some altars. Men, walk with God. Talk with God. Live for God. When you sin, confess your sins. Forsake your sins. Make it right. Do right. Get back up. Fall down, get back up. Fall down, get back up. Right, fail, get back up. This is my God. This is my God. The God of the mighty one of Jacob. And it is tremendous. And he built an altar there and died. And he sacrificed everything. And he says, boys, follow the God of Jacob. Let's all bow our heads and close our eyes. Dads, if God can bless Jacob, also Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, he can bless you. You're not perfect, neither were they. They had some good years and bad years. They had some God times and godless times. They could have done better with their families. But they said, at times, and consistently many times. And he ended well, and he said, y'all follow the Almighty God of Jacob. He will take you all the way to heaven. Dads, stop the generational sins. Look at what you're producing. Preacher, God is convicting me about an issue in my life that's got to change. I don't want my kids to be doing what I'm doing, saying what I'm saying, thinking what I'm thinking, acting what I'm acting, behaving. Preacher, pray for me. Now this is open to ladies, this is open to teenagers. There, God is talking to me, and then something's got to start and something's got to stop. These are things that I got to put off, and these are things that I got to put on. God's talking to me because I want to have people to follow my God. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Preacher, I needed this sermon this morning. Can I see your hand? Preacher, I needed this sermon this morning. Amen. Amen. There's things that got to stop. Things got to start. Ungodliness has got to stop. Godliness got to stop, because there's generations. This man lived a long time. And one day we're going to be at the end of our lives. And we better have taken our family humbly in the right direction. Jacob. On and off, Dad. Finished well. and had some good years. Do it, dads. Do it, moms. Do it, teenagers. Do it, young adults. Do it. If you're not saved here this morning, you need to have Jesus as your life and your Savior. And wow, preacher, you're talking about living for God, and I'm not sure I'm a child of God. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven, and I sure don't want to go to hell. Preacher, pray for me. Every head, every bowed, every eye closed. Can I pray for you? I will not embarrass you. Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm a Christian. Can I pray for you, anyone, please? I pray for you. You can have the God that helps you through life, like Jacob. Lord Jesus, be with us today. Help each of us to grab your truth and to not have so many starts and stops, but to have some good years for God and not to have time wasted. Lord, thank you for the life of Jacob. And Lord, remind us that you can forgive him and reuse him and reuse him and revive him and reuse him. Lord, help us to know that if God can use Jacob and bless Jacob, he can use each of us. And he will. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.